Lord, help us to commence with hymn 1020. The castle of the human heart, strong in its native sin, is guarded well in every part by him who dwells within. 1020.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God in St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, the first chapter in the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. They which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet, I am not worthy to unloose. these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, thou great sovereign Lord God, we would bow before thee, acknowledging thy holy majesty, thy supreme greatness. Oh, that thou art God over all, and that thou, God, seest me. May we each, Lord, be aware of this. Oh, as we are found here this Sabbath morning, the last Sabbath of another year. Oh, another year of our short lives is gone. Oh, Lord, may we have a solemnity coming over us, and do solemnize our minds, Lord. And, oh, do so give to us that reverence that we do feel to need. Oh, Lord, our natures are so different from this. We've got our old nature, our wicked heart. And our wicked heart, one says, takes no small part. We have felt this love late. And, Lord, we do need thee to subdue it today. And, Lord, oh, if we have been called, as we've been reading of thee thyself calling thy disciples, oh, Lord, thou knowest if thou hast called us, we are called unto holiness. Oh, but we've come so short of it, Lord. Oh, we've got so much to confess of our failure, our shortcomings, our utter unworthiness of the least of thy notice. And, Lord, our continual sinning. Lord, I come before thee to confess my sins in thought, word, and deed. Lord, we humbly hope in some measure we've been kept, but Lord, it does trouble us. Oh, for so quickly, so unawares we are caught by Satan, and our wicked heart has no trouble with it. But Lord, deep within we feel the grief. Oh, how much it affects us, Lord. Oh, when thou dost so bring us to solemnly consider, and we grieve for grieving thee. And so, Lord, we come before thee with that mingled feeling of such solemnity. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how. Lord, we've heard it prayed. Oh, that we might today be able to enter into the wonderful things of thy truth, Lord. Oh, that thou came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Lord, I feel this. Oh, I know a friend who's prayed it feels it. Oh, Lord, there are those that feel it here. Lord, we've got no stones to throw at one another. Lord, it's personal. It's a solemn personal case. And, oh, Lord, we would confess our sins, Lord. Oh, we would have real repentance. We pray for it. We pray that godly sorrow, which can only be known by the influence and exercise of the Holy Spirit, we pray for this, Lord. For we know it is thy way, the only way. According to thy dealings, thy teachings, Lord, this is the only way that sinners can and do come to real repentance, godly sorrow. It will work real repentance. It's that power thou dost give. It's that what we've read of, Lord. Oh, thou givest thy people power to become the sons of God, and it's the sons and daughters of thee, the Most High God, who know their woe. They know their trouble. They know their need. And Lord, we do hope By thy grace we are among them. And so we come before thee now, begging for mercy. O Lord, it is what we've heard prayed, mercy through blood. This is our only plea, that thou, Lord, hast come and shed thy blood. O for sinners to put away sin. O Lord, we do plead the blood. One said that did for sin atone, that does for sin atone. We plead it, Lord, now. And so, Lord, we pray that each one of our friends gathered here, if it could please thee, might be in a sober, solemn exercise. Lord, oh, as we would acknowledge the swift passing of time and that we're all fast hastening on toward eternity. Lord, we pray that they will, even in the young ones, younger friends here, make eternity a tremendous sound. Lord, thou didst do this in this poor preacher, this poor man. Lord, thou didst do it when we were young. We pray, Lord, that we'll do it in and for the dear young friends here. Make them to know the reality, the solemnity of that vast eternity that's before them that they must enter into, and who can say how nigh they are to it. Lord, we do beg that we might so be exercised and prepared for it, prepared for that great day. Lord, oh, here we've been reading that wonderful truth, the wonderful truth which is as history of truth, but it's more than that, Lord. Oh, Lord, that thou hast come into the world. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, we would seek this, Lord. Oh, we know it will be needed that we must be in holy awe and reverence, godly fear. Oh, that we might see thy glory, Lord. So as we have seen thee in the sanctuary, we trust we can acknowledge it. We have had times, wonderful times of thy holy divine favour, when we have had a glimpse of thy glory. But Lord, how profound when Moses was standing before thee, the great God, and desire to see thee, Lord God. And thou didst make clear, so clear, to him no man shall see God's face and live. But there is a place by me. And we believe, Lord, this is how thy people see thy glory. God, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we pray that we may have such a favour here this day, if it could be thy will, and that thou wilt so grant this favour as a seal by the Spirit, that we may know we are thine. Oh, that thou hast loved us and given thyself for us. Oh, that thou in great love to our souls before the world didst contrive that way to rescue rebel ruined man. Oh, Lord, do bring dear souls here into the exercise and the secret of the favour of it, Lord. The exercise for it and the secret of the favour of it. Oh, bring them into it, Lord, if it could please thee. We would pray according to thy will that they will deal with souls, that they will work in souls. Oh, Lord, it is vital we should know that beginning of the work. Lord, it must be thee that begins. Lord, it's not, it can never be us. Lord, we have got a heart that's so prone to this, to go the other way. We will not have this man to reign over us. Lord, we see it evident in so many. Lord, it is a trial to us that is evident in some of our loved ones. And Lord, as we pray for them and bring them unto thee day by day, Lord, it is an absolute and full acknowledgement we must make that nothing but thy grace, Lord, nothing but thy blood, O Jesus. Oh, Lord, it's all of grace. No, we pray, Lord, for our loved ones, Lord. There's those that do cause us much anxiety. Lord, oh, who knoweth how we carry them and what a burden they are to us. And Lord, oh, with our friends, we know in some of the families there are these cases that the dear parents have to bring unto thee and cast upon thee day by day. Lord, thou knowest our personal case and our friends, Lord, and we pray with them for our friends and their loved ones that they would work. If it could be thy will and quicken dead sinners into life, call them by thy grace. Lord, also where there is some hope, thou hast worked. And Lord, then solemnly we see. We see not what we would expect and want to see. Oh Lord, thou knowest. Maybe in that situation of those souls that it's a need for thee to put thy hand the second time to the work. Oh Lord, we would not dictate. Lord, we would not unwisely speak to thee. But Lord, thou knowest what is needed. Oh, thou knowest the cases. Thou knowest our burdens. Thou knowest the trial of it. Oh Lord, we each have a personal trial of faith. But Lord, then there's the trial regarding others too. Lord, these are all conspiring to make a weighty cross to thy people, for thy people. Oh Lord, we do beg that thou wilt hear our poor prayers. Oh, and if it could please thee in thy time, may we see thy appearing in so dealing with souls who are a great burden and weight to us, as with our own soul. Lord, thou knowest, oh, what we have to bring unto thee day by day. Oh, we bless thee, thou art a God nigh at hand and not afar off. Though we are so fickle and we wander and falter and fall, but Lord, thou dost love thy people. Thine is an everlasting love, higher than the heights above, deeper than the depths beneath, full and faithful, strong as death. Lord, we can believe this when thou givest that faith we need and strengtheneth it and the light we need. We plead for these favours today that we might have that light. Oh, that we have even acknowledged and desired in the opening hymn. Oh, Lord, we do want thee to cast out that strong one. Oh, we want thee to enter thyself and cast out sin. Oh, Lord, do so hear the prayer, the prayers of these thy people. And oh, we pray for the dear deacons, Lord. Oh, as we appreciate their greeting us in the vestry, as they do so sincerely, we believe. Oh, Lord, it's what thou hast made them. It's what thou hast done in them and for them. We pray thou wilt continue to help them. We believe thou wilt, Lord. Oh, Lord, thou wilt never leave thy people. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that thou mayest boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and that I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Be with them, Lord, help them, bless them, make them a blessing still. In the little church here, Lord, we pray for them. And, oh, we pray, Lord, that that time appointed might come when they shall have an under-shepherd who knoweth how we desire this for them. Oh, hast thou not got one whom thou must make manifest for this? Lord, we have some sweet confidence of it. Thou must make this one manifest for this, this great appointment in thy name. Lord, hear prayer for this. Thou knowest we pray for all thy servants. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, each one of them. Oh, we pray thou wilt use them in thy name, make them a blessing. Bless them in their own souls. Oh, may it be today, this last Sabbath in the year, a time of favour in the little hills of Zion. Lord, and we would not just restrict our mind to pray for and acknowledge the hills of Zion of our own beloved denomination, though we love it. Lord, thou knowest how we love our own beloved denomination, and we do pray for them all, Lord. But Lord, we know thy church is thy one church in the wilderness, and thy purpose is, according to thine own great high priestly prayer, thou hast that purpose, they might all be one, as we are one. Oh Lord, help us to remember this. Thy purpose is to bring all thy ransom throng at last to stand around the throne, to bow before the throne, to cast their crowns before thee. Oh Lord, may we ever be mindful of this, and give us real love to all thy people, Lord. Oh, all those that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. Lord, may we be favoured at times if the way is made to meet those and to commune with those that we do not yet know. In thy name, while we're in the vale of tears in Meshach. Oh Lord, oh what a theme, a wonderful important theme it is when then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another and a book of remembrance was written. Oh Lord, may we be concerned that we might be honouring thee in our lives and professions. Lord, that we might not be ashamed of Jesus, our dear friend, even as we go and stand walking before the world. May they take knowledge of us, so we've been with Jesus and learned of him. Lord, thou knowest how recently we were exhorted, the ministers of our denomination were exhorted toward this, and in that humble, kind way warned regarding our conduct, how we live, how we profess our profession of thy holy name. Oh, we pray for grace. We pray for keeping. We pray for thee, that thou wilt, in thy mercy, so keep us in thy fear. We may live unto thee and show the world who we love and who we serve. Help us each. Lord, we pray for the afflicted. Oh, we are so thankful that we can meet today with the thankfulness that a dear younger friend, a dear son, the dear people here, family here, has been helped. It's been a hard year, Lord, for our dear young friend, and for his dear one and the family, all of them affected. But Lord, we do thank thee that thou hast, in thy means and purposes, use the means and bless them. And we pray it may be of real lasting favour and spiritual favours too. Oh, we pray for thy sanctifying favours, that they might be so witnessed by the people here. Bless him, Lord. Favour him. Oh, in those ways we long to see many brought to be able to acknowledge. Lord, be with him still. And Lord, oh, we pray for the little ones here, the dear young ones, the little ones given in the past year. Lord, oh, they know it there. We failed it to stop fold on the Christmas morning, as the dear pastor there had four born in his family, some during that past year. this past year. And Lord, how we do feel it in other parts in this land, among thy people. Those lives given, lives spared and lives given. Oh Lord, but souls to pray for. Oh Lord, we do beg. And if it could please thee in thy love and mercy according to thy will, it will begin to work in young souls in early days in their lives, if it could please thee. Lord, thou wilt so manifest them later perhaps. But Lord, the seed may be sown in them. Lord, that oh, thou wilt so raise up yet a generation to serve thee and to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Oh, we pray for friends, young friends who have their plans made for this year, the coming year. Lord, thou knowest all our desire for them. And oh, Lord, that favour might be known in their natural lives, but also in spiritual things of thy favour and thy goodness to them. And so, Lord, be with many. We pray and think of this time. We especially remember our friend, dear Mr. Richardson, widower now. Oh, thou knowest the friends that tended to know him in mourning, the loss of a dear member. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how we felt it with them on Wednesday. And, Lord, we do pray thou wilt comfort those that mourn. Oh, Lord, may thy love surround them. The comfort of thy love be with them. So we remember them. And Lord, thou knowest how day by day we carry and bear before thee our own homeland, England. Oh, thou knowest all the solemn state we're in. Oh, we beg of thee still in wrath, remember mercy. Oh, we cannot multiply words now, Lord. But oh, we beg of thee for help. And we beg, Lord, that if it be thy will, thou wilt so bless thy word to precious souls here today. Oh, that thou mightest through this get to thyself all the honour and glory that is due unto thee. Oh, Lord, may we ever be mindful of the words of the psalmist. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy, for his mercy and his truth's sake. Oh, Lord, we would praise thee. We are well aware, Lord, in reading passages of thy word, especially in Revelation. Oh, Lord, when John fell before the angel. But, oh, Lord, how that was quickly commanded, see thou do it not. Oh, Lord, oh, we beg, may we ever be concerned and exercised toward worshipping of our great God and not unto us. Oh, Lord, we would be careful and concerned for this and remembering thou hast said in thy word, not for thy sake do I this, but for my great name's sake. Oh, do help us, Lord. We might be self-renouncing, grace-admiring, made unto salvation wise. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 728. Strange and mysterious is my life, what opposites I feel within. A stable peace, a constant strife, the rule of grace, the power of sin. Too often I am captive led, yet often triumph in my head. 728.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to a word you will find in the first epistle general of Peter, chapter 4, the verses 12 and 13. The first epistle general of Peter, chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I feel it will be profitable and right in God's sight, friends, if I tell you something of my exercises from the middle of the night or the morning hour at 2:30 till now. At 2:30 this morning we were walking the house and this word came with power. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, and so on. But as we've been coming along, our mind has been much led back 14 years to when we were, I trust, led, I know, led by God to preach from the word that we read in the 1st of John over in Oxfordshire on the third Sunday of the new year of 1996. Now I want to speak of what God has done and to God's glory, but a godly deacon there, and it wouldn't be wrong for me to tell you, it was the dear father of dear Mr. Pocock's wife. He was greatly blessed that day, and I speak to God's glory. The text was, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and the following words, which were born. And you know how it continues as we read this morning, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of man, but of God. Now that was the third Sunday in January 1996, I believe. I'm right in saying. Now, by the third Sunday in February, that dear deacon was home in glory. It's come back to me with such power this morning. And I felt I would preach to you from that word. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. Notice, gave him he power to become the sons of God. But the text given me in the night, beloved, think it not strange. Now I would ever be careful and concerned to want to rightly acknowledge the witness of the Spirit. You know, if we've been singing, strange and mysterious is my life, what opposites I feel within. Now actually this is the trial of faith. Newton knew it. Well, look at the last verse. What different powers within me strive, and grace and sin by turns prevail. But powers, there is a power, God's power, the power of his love, the power of his grace, the power of faith. It's that power that causes those God loves to become the sons of God. Now, I want to bring this point to you this morning. Do you know anything of that power of God working in you to cause you to become one of the sons or daughters of God, the children of God? Because this is the real, this is the very reality of real religion. It's what God does in those he loves. He begins to work in them. He begins to affect them. And he makes them to be, by his grace, sons and daughters of him, the Most High God. I shall never forget that occasion. 14 years ago, it's very humbling to me to look back to it and knowing my dear friend is in glory and the witness of it, with others there, in the whole family too. You know, these are the realities of real religion. But friends, here this morning, if you're one of these beloved ones, and oh, I must put it like that, you know, here the dear apostle he addresses these dear souls, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Now, some of you young ones, if God's begun in you, you may, as it were, find your mind shrinking from this, from considering this, because you may be thinking, well, this word speaks of trouble, sorrow, conflict. It speaks of hard things which I fear, I don't really want. If this is what real religion is, I don't want to look forward to this. But what is the other side? What is the opposite? Death, despair, eternal woe. These people, these beloved, are loved of God from everlasting to everlasting. All those that are not loved of God will be found in hell at last. They may have a pleasant life here below, but they will have their troubles. Talking to a dear servant of God back in this year, and we were talking of our troubles, our conflicts and our trials, and our dear friend said, well, the world have their troubles. They haven't got a God to go to. And then he said, well, it comes to this. Why me? Oh, blessed God, why me? And we felt such closeness and such union and such thankfulness to our God that he had taken us in hand. He had begun in us and he did give us to know solemnly our troubles, our personal troubles. And never cross to carry. But he giveth grace. He giveth more grace to his people. And in the reality of the experience of it, it is God working in his people to will and to do of his good pleasure. Those he loves, he works in. He comes with his grace initially. They are born. They're born of God, born again, born from above. Not according to the flesh, like we read in John. They're born of God, which were born not of the will of man, not of the flesh, but of God. They're called by grace. They're born of the Spirit. They're brought into the secret of the favour and love of God, where they will have a pathway to tread, rough and thorny path. We tread in hopes to see his face. So, friends here, oh, we all need help. I need help. You need help. To look at this word, beloved, think it not strange. You know, even based upon the first line of our hymn we've just sung. Yes, there are all those strange things. But if we really understand by God's giving us light of what God's doing innocent for us, he is so working in us to bring us off of all other lovers that we might love him, our God, alone. He has to try us. He tries the graces he gives. He tries the faith he gives in his people. Faith, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. And so with this understanding, we seek this understanding the apostle had. The dear apostle Peter, he had this understanding given him by God so that he could write like this and exhort like this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. That's how it seems to nature, doesn't it? Seems like that to the carnal mind. Oh, it seems so much opposite to what you would expect. But hear this exhortation. Beloved, he's acknowledging them as the loved people of God, thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. What are the ways we think it's strange? Well, it seems to be opposite to what we would expect. And that is if we consider it with our natural mind. Our natural mind will consider it like this. And some of you young people might be much troubled with your natural mind considering things in a natural way. You see, God's truth tells us the natural man, that's a man with under the exercise of the natural mind, the natural man cannot, and initially this is a dead soul, no spiritual life, but it still runs on with the old nature, even in a quickened soul. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, they're spiritually discerned. And what you need and I need is to be aware of, and God will make us aware of it, that we've got a natural mind, a carnal mind, which is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And when we are thinking about things and under a natural consideration of things, that side of us cannot understand. Everything is strange. Here, I believe the apostle exhorts toward the exercise that God must give of being under the dictates of the new nature, the new mind, the new man of grace. Our trouble is we've got a conflict that goes on betwixt the powers of grace and sin. And when the powers of sin, of nature, are uppermost, well, we can't think one thought aright. But what we need, friends, is the favour of the reigning of sovereign grace in us. I believe this, in essence, is what Peter exhorts to here. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. And then, of course, he goes deeper with the following verse. But, are we brought to understand that it's not as strange as we naturally think it is? Because God is working in us for his sovereign purpose. If we are sons of God, you know, there's that hymn we sometimes sing, sons of God, in tribulation let your eyes your Saviour view. He's the rock of our salvation. He was tried and tempted too. Oh, to succour every tempted burdened son. Beloved, think it not strange. It's what the Lord's appointed for you. you're in a pathway, walking in the will of God, and whether it even be, and as I may have said to you before, I always find it very difficult to distinguish or come to consider between the sovereign will of God and the permissive will of God. There is a difference, and yet it's a very close difference. Oh, we can't really come into the understanding without, we certainly can't without some light from God. I believe things in my life God permitted to happen. When I was doing things in my own will, or even being surrounded by others who were doing things according to their own will for me, affecting me, you know, whereas I believe it wasn't the sovereign will of God, it was God's permissive will, and God knew it would happen. But further on, he has a purpose to cover that, to correct that, and I believe it yet will be proved with God's people. This is so. I believe you will prove it here. I can't say more than that. But you know, this strangeness is how we naturally feel it. It's how we are in a limited understanding of things. But the pure exhortation is, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Because I believe what Peter is touching upon is, God is doing his will. God is working according to his sovereign will. Or maybe in time to correct what has been permitted to happen. Now, I know that's close and very difficult to understand, but I can see some light in that way, and I even see it maybe relating to some of us here. You know, this fiery trial, it's a fiery trial, and it's appointed by God that it is to be a fiery trial. You know, a fiery trial is more than the term in a naming of a trial. It's a fiery trial. And it's because it is in God's will and purposes, God must do much to make right and keep right his people. They've got a lot they've got to lose. A lot that needs burning up. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Notice here the word says, the fiery trial. And that will be according to what actually is being experienced by you. The fiery trial. And maybe others can't understand this fiery trial, but it's that which is personal to you, and it's in God's will for you. Think it not strange, and I believe God, as he leads this such a soul on, he will give them light and understanding to what, as regarding what he is doing in their life and pathway. Beloved, think it not strange concerning, see how specific this is, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Now, of course, I do not know all your cases, but God does. And you that are spiritual, you will know something of this, the fiery trial that God has appointed for you. And think it not strange. Well, how can you come to the side of light and favour in this fiery trial? Well, God will bring you to it. It will bring you through it. And he'll bring you to that, enabling to see and understand what your Lord is doing in you and for you. He's stripping you of everything that's not profitable. He's burning it up. He's burning up in this way, by this means of this fiery trial, he's going to bring you forth as gold. That was a very precious word given to me, applied to me, way back in 1962, under the ministry of the late Mr. Collier. He was given by God to come to Stockfold on a Wednesday night, with the words upon his spirit, those words of Job, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You know, Job had got those friends around him. They were comforters, a little, but mostly miserable comforters. You know, there was ever so much discussion going on, but in a personal moment, in that personal moment of closeness, acknowledging before God, dear Job said, "But he knoweth." Oh, and it may be with you at times. Oh, it's spots and places, moments in experience, "But he knoweth the way that I take." And in that, those moments, is there this, with this, this considering and acknowledging, "But he knoweth the way that I take"? A little faith, and the brightening of it, the strengthening of it, a glimpse of the other side. "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Faith, a grain of faith made more, increased. "I shall," confidence of faith flowing in, "come forth as gold. When he hath tried me." You know, it's when God has tried. He shall sit, we read in Zechariah, is it? It might be Malachi. "He shall sit as a refiner of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi." Notice that. Purify the sons of Levi. That's to do with the ministry. Purify the sons of Levi. The sons of Levi were in the priest's office. The tribe of Levi was not given any tribal territory, not settled in tribal territory. They were for the priest's office. Oh, he shall purify the sons of Levi. Oh, he shall bring them forth as gold. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And he gives that blessed confidence of faith to, and this is a glimpse through the trial. This is a glimpse beyond the trial. "I shall come forth as gold. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Notice how it is. It is, it's supposed to try you. The fiery trial which is to try you. As though some strange thing happened unto you. But, dear friend, can you enter into how this is coupled in the following verse? "As though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." How can a soul be brought into this? What is the reality of being brought into this? When the dear Spirit so leads and shows and confirms and blesses that a soul is under this fiery trial, going through this fiery trial, and thinking not strange concern in the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Have you got that witness in your experience in this trial of your faith, this fiery trial? Can you enter into this? Because Peter here, he says, rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Now, I would lead you to consider it like this, if God help me. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Do you know anything of Christ's sufferings in that way? Oh, this is the witness. This is the reality. And this is what you will be favoured at times, even in the trial, and especially coming through the trial, and you will come through the trial. This is the favour that you will know, but rejoice. The Lord will give you something of the holy pleasure of his love, holy thankfulness, holy favour of believing that all is working for your good and according to his will. But rejoice. And the key to it, what couples, what enjoins, what really brings the seal is, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Now, God's people, many of God's people have been, and it's only such a little they know, but they have been brought into this deep favour of being partaker of Christ's sufferings in experience, where they have been brought into it in a way where God has revealed it, that they are treated a little, and I must say only a little, like the Lord was. And it might be by the world, it might be by the religious community, it might even be by God's own people. But this is the reality. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Now, in experience, that will be such a small degree, in like manner as your Lord. But never, of course, to the degree that our Lord suffered. Oh, one put it in terms which are descriptive in a way, but a dialogue as figurative of his suffering, so intense. Angels have no perfect sense. And the word perfect, of course, means complete. Of course they don't. And neither does a child of God. But they'll know a little. Just a little. And this is what most sacred, blessed, rejoicing that God gives. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. I particularly seem to be led in one's heart and mind to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Oh, those deep sacred words set forth in a way of prophecy concerning Christ. Oh, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. Oh, how deep. But this is only, can only be known and only be acknowledged by those who know just a little of him. And they can rejoice. God commends them to, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That when his glory, you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad. Be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, of course, according to God's purpose for you, or me, if it be as well, there will be the other side. But here it is, dear Peter is exhorting toward the prospect of him. You're in the trial still. You're in the fiery trial. You're in this pathway. And the Lord knows all about him. All about you. All about any one of you. You're in this trial. He's doing it in love and not in anger. He's doing it according to his eternal purpose. He's doing it for you in perfect love. For you and all his name and course. He must have each one, individual one of his people as those he's appointed and called for himself, prepared for himself. We read in Isaiah's prophecy, a people, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. The Lord's doing it for this purpose. Each individual one must be dealt with according to the will of God. And according to the will of God for their life, for their pathway, and for that part in Zion they must play whilst they're still on earth. The word play is not the right word. You know, that part in Zion they must be found in the church on earth, and then to be called home to glory. And to be forever with the Lord. Oh, think it not strange, poor soul. Concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. As though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice and be exceeding glad. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful word this is. To souls that are in thee. Pathway of a fiery trial. Oh, what a wonderful word. Oh, what a wonderful character God's grace made Peter. Oh, think of what he had to go through. Think of what he had to suffer in grief. Oh, think of his suffering. His suffering was so deeply according to his own fall. I believe this can be in that way. It has been in many. Their own fall. Their own folly. I believe it can be affected by the folly of others as well. The Lord knows. But the pathway is as it is according to God's will, deep and profound as it is. And God has a purpose to bring through the trial, through the fire and through the sea, as thy days, thy strength shall be. I believe it, friends. I believe it with all my heart, for I know something of it. The fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. But rejoice. Consider it in the light God gives, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. And you know, here is a word which, it's a word which has got prospect with him. that when his glory shall be revealed, his glory. Now I want to just touch this, we must say amen, but you know, when his glory shall be revealed, I believe God's purpose with all his people is that they are a people that he forms for himself and they shall show forth his praise. You know, our professions, our conduct, our religion, our profession, our walking and our going on as following the Lord is very, very much under the eye of God, as well as being under the eye of God's people. But God does bring, as he goes on to be gracious and works according to his will, he brings a soul to the point where they glorify God, or they're using God's name for God's glory, when his glory shall be revealed. Oh, this what redounds to the eternal praise of God from a poor sinner. A poor sinner who fails to be nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is their all and in all. And when they are able to tell of it, testify it, and show it forth to the church of God, his glory shall be revealed. Oh, I believe there's that point, and I want to be. Oh, and I pray that we might be enabled by his grace to live to his praise, to honour him, to show the proof of our love to him, to show the world who we love and who we serve. We fail, I confess it, much have to. But, oh, that glory may be revealed in us, all of him, all of what he is, all what he is and what he has and does for his people, that we might show forth his praise, his glory revealed among a people, that this is a great God working, doing his will, bringing forth honour and glory to himself, affecting the dear people to sing God's praises, to praise God from whom all blessings flow, when his glory shall be revealed. And you know, if you're really right and graciously exercised, that's all you seek. That's all you want. That's what you have in your heart of hearts, by God's grace, a single eye to God's glory. Oh, when his glory shall be revealed, ye may rejoice with exceeding joy. I've looked for this, I pray for this in my own life and the dear people I preach to in the little hills of Zion, for you dear people here. Oh, I fail to preach it, I can't bring it to you as I would. We fail in it all. But, oh, God won't fail. God will do his will, and he'll bring a time when his people will glorify him here on earth, if it be his will, and in eternity forever. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £610, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day, and hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And our friends at Oakington hold their prayer meeting on Friday morning. Hymn 949. There's not a name beneath the skies, nor is there one in heaven above, but that of Jesus can suffice the sinner's burden to remove. 949.
do forgive anything that they were seen amiss. Cover it with the mantle of thy forgiving love. Own and bless thy word. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.